Adventist World Radio. From broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Muruti Museki Dumela.
Good afternoon, sir.
Yes, how are you, Pastor?
I'm well, how are you?
No, I can't complain, Pastor. All is good. And thank you much for joining us. And thank you so much, by the way, for making time to be with us at this particular week. And so we're going to be discussing a rather very, an interesting and important subject, I believe, Christian response to injustice and inequality. I think that it's one that we don't really talk much about as Christians. And I think quite important that we address it today. Thank you so much.
Exactly. And, in a world where there's a lot of inequality, it seems like Christians are just mum about it and they're not saying anything about it. So thank you for the opportunity to have me throw my 2 cents worth of opinion on the issue. Thank you so much.
Lovely. Thank you. Now, when the first murder was committed by Cain, he sought to deny his culpability by implying that he was not responsible for his brother's well-being. I mean, he says, "Am I my brother's keeper?" when he asks in Genesis 4:9. Now, the judgment that fell on his shoulders made it clear that we are indeed also our brother's keeper. Now, it is in light of this that we have these conversations about responsibility, our responsibility in the face of injustice and inequality in society. Now, Pastor, is there a global definition of justice and inequality, or do these concepts differ according to culture and location?
That question I can say yes and no to it, in the sense of there are certain fundamental things that define justice. For example, justice basically is the upholding of rights. Everyone has a right to live, a right to pursue happiness, a right to liberty. So that those are non-negotiable in the universal. But to a large extent, we can say that there is not a universally accepted vision of justice and equality, as these concepts are shaped by cultural, philosophical, religious, and social perspectives. But there are those that are commonly accepted. Let's look at justice from a philosophical perspective. It is often associated with fairness. It involves giving each individual what they are due, or whether it's rights or resources or opportunities. That is what you call justice. And then the legal aspect of it is, in a legal sense, it's about the application of laws in a manner that is fair and impartial, ensuring that individuals receive fair treatment and that wrongdoings are appropriately addressed. For example, the reason I say that it is not universally, we can't have a universal definition of that. Looking from the legal perspective, there are certain things that you and I, men of a certain age, can be imprisoned for. But someone is considered underage, they can be in prison for that thing. You've done something that is equal before society, and the results are equal. But how we are treated is different because of age. So it's because of the legal perspective of it. So that's why it's a yes and no type of answer to the question. And then looking at equality, you have what you call equality of opportunity. This means that everyone should have the same chances to succeed without barriers related to race, gender, economic background, and stuff like that. And you also have what you call equality of outcome. Basically, the approach that focuses on ensuring that everyone ends up in a similar position in terms of resources, rights, and opportunities, even if this requires redistributive measures. Now, when you talk about redistributive measures, basically, it's taking from those who have to give those who don't. Now, that can be called theft. So it's not just in that sense. But in other places, you can have that and people accept it. But in our side of the world, probably maybe the corner of the world where we live, taking something that belongs to someone and redistributing to others who don't have, that can be tantamount to stealing. So it is subjective to say a certain extent, but there are those common and universal aspects to it.
Quite interesting. Now, does the Bible say anything about injustice and inequality and our role in addressing those?
Yes, there are quite some verses that talk about justice. I mean, in the Bible, and how believers they actually offer us Christians, believers, guidance on how we should address these issues of inequality. You have the verse that talks about God's justice in the book of Isaiah, chapter 61, verse 8. He says, "For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing." So God is portrayed as loving justice and opposing all acts of injustice. Now, this verse emphasizes that God's nature is just and he desires fairness in human interactions. And then you have another one that talks about defending the oppressed. And I think that's where we come in as Christians. Micah chapter 6, verse 8. We did reference it some weeks back, talking about intersection of politics and faith. It says, "He has shown you, O mortal man, or O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and walk humbly with your God." So the verse here encapsulates the expectation that God's people will pursue justice, show mercy, and live humbly. So acting justly includes standing against oppression and advocating for those who are vulnerable, those who don't have a voice, those who don't have a power to do so for themselves. And we are also told that the last one that I would like to share on this one is Proverbs 31, verse 8 and verse 9, says that speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and needy. So as believers, we are called to defend the rights of those who are marginalized and to ensure that justice is applied fairly, especially to those who lack power. Now, this is whether those who are marginalized, those who are being oppressed, whether they share the same sentiment as us, whether we have the same faith or not, it doesn't matter. Where we see injustice taking place, we as Christians, we are called to stand up and speak against it and protect those who are marginalized and vulnerable.
And we've got that responsibility, at all times. Now, our leader, Christ, are there any examples that he actually, stood up for justice and equality?
Yes, we have that. A typical example that I think it's well fitting is the woman who was caught in adultery. There you actually see a blend of justice and mercy in the life of Christ. The Bible says that they brought the woman to Christ and said, "No, we caught her in the very act." And the law says that we should stone such. Now, when you go back to the law that actually they referenced, the law says that both the man and the woman should be brought out and be stoned. But here they only brought the woman. The question is, who is the other person? She can't commit adultery on her own by herself. So it has to be with another person. So there you see Christ doing something that is very interesting. Remember that Micah chapter 6 says that you need to also show mercy. So Christ blended the two. He did the right interpretation of the law by basically showing them that, and he did this by writing on the ground. And what he was writing, we're not told. But to a Jewish mind, when you write on the ground with your finger, it communicates volumes. He was communicating to them that I know that law. I'm the one who gave that law. I'm the one who wrote that law. So I'm going to show you the interpretation of that law. And he says, "He that is without sin, let him cast the first stone." And usually, with that kind of sin is, if someone is not guilty of the same sin, then they should be the first one to cast the stone. And the Bible says that they left. So they were all guilty of the same, but they wanted to stone one person. So you see him exercising that. And you also see him exercising mercy on this woman. He says to her, "Go and sin no more." So he admonishes her to be just, to be on the right side of the law after showing her mercy. And we also see this in how he dealt with the harlots, with the publicans and sinners at large. The way he interacted with them, you can see that he did not condone what they were doing, but he was extending a helping hand to them to show that I'm your friend. And for you to actually come out of that, you have to have a friendship with me. So the way Christ promoted this virtues He's just seen in his life as to how he interacted with other people around him.
Beautiful, man. Actually, I think that is an example that we truly, truly ought to, look forward to, assimilating, so that this world becomes a better place. Now, Pastor, I'm wondering if these things will ever disappear. I'm talking about justice, inequality, etc. Or do we just have to live with them? I mean, we're talking about isms as well. You talk about racism, sexism, and all other isms, really. Do you think there's a point that all of this will just come to an end and we live happily ever after? Or we just have to deal with them until Christ comes?
Yeah, that's I like the last line that you put. You have to deal with them until Christ comes. the Bible shows that, and even going outside of the Bible, you look at other aspects that make the human, the human society. You look at economics, you look at all other things. It's getting worse and worse. The population of the world is growing, natural resources are getting depleted, and that on its own, just economically speaking, it will perpetuate crime. And with crime, there's a lot of injustice and inequality. So on this side of eternity, on this side of the second coming of Christ, we can expect these things to get worse and worse. I mean, analysts all over, religious analysts and economics and all, they just show that because of shortage of resources and shrinking resources and growing populations, things will get worse and worse. We'll be competing for small things, and the law of the jungle will operate, survival of the fittest. Those who are witty enough, those who are strong enough, those who are violent enough, will take from those who are not. So we can expect these things to grow. But what we can do as Christians is to educate people on these things, share with them the biblical worldview concerning these things, and we can make a difference at least where we are. We can make a difference at least where we are in our lives, in our families, in those that we interact with. But by and large, we can say that these things will be eliminated when Christ ushers in his kingdom at the second coming of Christ. And we've been here where I am, we've been basically teaching the book of Daniel. Just still teaching it now. And it just shows that all the kingdoms of this world, they can never actually accomplish what God wants to accomplish on this earth. That is why he has to destroy all these kingdoms and set up his own kingdom, in which righteousness and justice reigns throughout eternity.
Hey, man, I'm looking forward to that. I truly, truly am looking forward to that. I actually wish it was tomorrow, to tell you the truth. Now,
exactly.
Coming to, the organization, the church, can injustice and inequality exist within the church organization?
Unfortunately, injustice and inequality exists within the walls of the church. Here are some examples. We have racial discrimination. We have segregated churches. In many countries, including South Africa, churches were segregated, along racial lines for much of history. We still have some today. Some churches today where it's only whites, and once you have other people of another skin color coming in, they move and they go elsewhere. They establish their own. So it just shows that there is that inequality. And sometimes even the language, instead of using a language that is common to all, which is English, and then we decide, no, we are going to use a language that the other person won't understand, and that is some form of injustice.
I see.
And then we have had theological justifications for that, for racism, which is basically a twisting of the Bible to perpetuate that idea. And then you also have what you call gender inequality.
Yeah, you know what? What I want us to do, because I'm looking at my time, we literally have done our 15 minutes and the producer is saying, do not forget the time. So what we'll do, we'll basically zoom in tomorrow into the injustice and inequality within the church, but more so we'll identify it as you've done. So we'll just recap and identify it further. And then we'll then see how we can do what we can do and how we can address it. Is that okay?
That is fine, my elder. That is fine. Thank you so much.
Lovely. My pastor, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. I think this is a very exciting topic. I'm looking forward to tomorrow and the rest of the week, where we are actually going to be delving deep and really, I think taking a mirror, really, and looking at ourselves and say, how are we faring as an organization, as individuals as well? The song by the late Michael Jackson says, "Man in the Mirror." And I think that is one of the things that we need to do, is exactly that. But for today, Mfundisi, thank you so much.
Amen, amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.